So tonight, Rafia will be leading us in the Bible study, and he will be continuing from where I stopped last Sunday. Mm-hmm. Remember, I was talking about last Sunday, coming in agreement and renewing our mind to be able to agree with our Holy Spirit, with our spirit that is born again. You know, I told us that we have three parts. We have the spirit, the body, and the soul. And the spirit is only born again. The body cannot get born again, because they have no inheritance in heaven. So, and I also said that it is to the degree that we renewed our mind, is the degree that the Holy Spirit can minister and flow into bringing out the manifestation of the presence of God in us. So,
that's
right.
Going
to continue from there.
Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. All right. Yeah, and just, you know, I want to maybe have a Q&A time at the end if I said something that, you know, because I've got a bit here to teach. I'm a teacher, okay? So I can preach, like Emmanuel said, he says, he's a preacher, but he can teach, but I'm a teacher, but I can preach, but I'm more of a teacher.
Yeah.
And it's part of the gifting that God has put inside of me. And one of the definitions for a teacher is to point things out, okay? So a lot of times I see things that other people don't see, and it's not me, it's because of the Holy Spirit over the years, and I've been developing that gifting, and I find that it's a gifting that's really missing in the body of Christ. I was talking to a brother the other day from Kenya, and he said, we have a lot of preachers, but we don't have a lot of teachers in the church. And it's true. We need good preachers. Don't get me wrong. You know, we have a good preacher here. Emmanuel's a great preacher.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to get better and better with working together and stuff like that. I'm going to get better too. You know, we're rubbing off on each other. Mm-hmm. You know, but his name is Matthew Moses. And I'm going to mention that because he's going to watch our YouTube video. And I've been really connecting with him. And he's really looking forward for us to go out there to Kenya. And he wants to start a Bible school too. So, but he says we really need good teachers. So he's getting into my YouTubes and stuff like that. So anyhow, I just want to start tonight. I just want to get this out first of all. Is that, you know, the day we got born again, the very moment we got born again, we received the very nature that Jesus had when he was born in his humanity. That is something that I did not know prior to 2007. Prior to 2007, I've been saved for 13 years. And I had a lot of good knowledge and stuff like that. God taught me a lot of things, prayed in tongues a lot. But in 2007, God really, well, he tried to get a hold of me before that. But sometimes, you know, we're a little stupid, you know, sometimes. Let's just be honest, okay? And I was a bit of ignorant, and I had some ignorance working in my life in certain areas. And one of the areas that I had ignorances was in this area of mind renewal. And so God began to teach me about certain things, and through some good teachings through a couple of teachers out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, God began to teach me the importance of how to renew my mind, why I should renew my mind, and what it is, how to go about to renew your mind properly. And see, when I'm into the Greek and stuff like that, we're going to touch on this tonight a little bit, and God began to show me some things out of the Greek. I didn't realize how much the New Testament had to do with the mind. There's so many references to the mind in the New Testament. And over the years, the Charismatics, the Word of Faith movement, you know, they've done great things for the church. But overall, they put a lot of emphasis on the human spirit. And that's good, because the human spirit was recreated. When we were born again, our human spirit was recreated. So, but the thing is, like our brother said, our soul wasn't recreated. My soul never got born again. Your soul never got born again. Now, there are some aspects of the new birth that went into your soul. When I got born again, it affected my soul to a certain degree. I got free from a lot of things. I don't want to get into that, but I got free from major bondage, drugs and fornication, stuff like that. So it did work its way into my soul, because that's where all the strongholds are in your soul, okay? But ultimately, my soul needed a lot of transformation, a lots of it, okay? And we all do. You know, the more you start renewing your mind to his mind, you're going to realize, you're going to go, oh my goodness, how long is this going to take me? Well, get on it, you know. So this is going to help you a lot in this whole area of mind renewal. And I'm going to touch a little bit on the work of the Holy Spirit in the recreated spirit. First of all, I just want to make a note here. These are statements that are worth, and of course I can make a lot of statements, and this stuff I'm doing on purpose so I can go up on the YouTube video, because we do a lot of graphics on our YouTube videos, a lot of word studies and stuff like that, a lot of references and stuff like that. So first thing I want to make a note of, which is very important, is that first of all, an unrenewed mind is a dysfunctional mind. If your mind is not being renewed with his mind and the way God thinks, you're a dysfunction. Your mind is dysfunctional. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. You know, I'm the first one to admit my mind is dysfunctional in certain areas. You know, and it was a lot more dysfunctional years ago, but it's getting better. You know, also I heard a preacher saying this a few years ago, that an unrenewed mind is a dangerous mind in the kingdom of God. Because I'll tell you something right now, if your mind is not renewed to His mind, that means you'll be thinking things that are contrary to what the way He thinks. Okay? Now that, when I got a hold of that, I said, oh my goodness, because I used to think things about God that were wrong. Now how can I walk with God, fellowship with God, how can I? As my Father, Jesus is my Lord, my elder brother, how can I actually fellowship with Him when He's thinking one thing about me and I'm thinking something else about myself or about Him? You can't. You know, like the verse that I think the verse that Emmanuel always mentions, which is a great verse out of Amos 2, I believe, right? How can two walk in agreement? How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And it's true, you know? So there has to be an agreement, not only between you and God, not only between us as a body, the body of Christ, but there has to be an agreement between the spirit, the recreated spirit, and the soul. Okay? So that's what I'm going to touch on right now. So, first of all, our minds need to be renewed with the Word. But the thing is, though, that's not good enough. Our minds need to be renewed with the Word according to His mind, the way He reads His Word. See, it's one thing to know what the Word says, but it's a whole different thing what the Word means. Because overall, over the years, we've been in the Word, but we've taken a lot of verses out of context. We've said things about the Word that God's saying, that's not for today. You know? So that's why we got to be very careful. If we're going to renew our minds, we have to renew our minds with the way God thinks. That's why He's given us His Word, but that's why He's given us His Holy Spirit too, who dwells within us. So we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? The minute we got born again, He's inside of us. But the thing is, though, we got to get the Word on the inside of us. See? And that part of us that the Holy Spirit's in is in our spirit. But what about the Word? Now, you don't put the Word in your spirit. Some teach on that, but it's wrong. You got to put the Word in your soul. That's where the mind renewal takes place. And that's also a part of building faith, to walk by faith. Because the faith has to be built. The faith of God has to be built in your soul and not your spirit. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. Now, we're gonna get into this. So, the first thing I want to look at here is where does this all mind renewal stuff come into play? Well, it started back in Genesis, believe it or not. That's where it all began. You know all about Genesis. I'm not going to read through Genesis, but I'm going to look at number one here is Genesis 5. When God showed me this a few years ago, I said, oh my goodness. My goodness. Genesis 5, verse 1 to 3. This is the book, the written record, the history of the generations of the offsprings of Adam. When God created man, or Adam, and a lot of times the word Adam is translated in the Hebrew, mankind. Okay, so that's very important to take note of that. Some translations catch it, and others don't catch it. Okay, that's why I'm so appreciative, brother, that we're gonna get into this. And I'll tell you, it's gonna make our preaching and our teaching so much more. It's just gonna bring life to it. It really is. Okay, so anyhow, He made him in the likeness of God. God created them. See how He went from man to male and female? That's where you get into the word mankind. Okay. So anyhow, He created them male and female and blessed them and named them both Adam, man, in the brackets here, at the time they were created. Now here's the humdinger of the verse here. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness after his image, no longer in the image of God. You see the difference there? He went from God's image to his own image. And see, sometimes, you know, I don't like to use the term reading between the lines, but sometimes that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because He's got to show you what happened there. And then that's where He takes you to different verses in the Bible, you know. So we got to go back here, not back, we'll go forward a little bit to the genealogy in Luke, which is the genealogy of Jesus, not as a Jew, okay. We hear a lot about Jesus being the Jew, and He was a Jew. That's in Matthew, the genealogy of Matthew. But we have a different genealogy in Luke. And that genealogy takes you all the way back to Adam, the first Adam, because Jesus is called the second Adam, right, in 1 Corinthians 15. So let's read here. This is very important. I'm laying a foundation here. And I'm a teacher. Remember that. Mm-hmm. And Luke 3:38. I don't have to go there, but I'll go there. Luke 3:38. Go at the bottom of the genealogy. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, and wow, the son of God. Adam, God's first son. He was. He was God's first son. In humanity, in his humanity. Okay? So there he had the image of God. He had the image. This is not in his fallen state. But then we know what happened in Genesis 3, right? Right? The fall. The fall of mankind, right? And this is exactly what Genesis 5:3 is all about. That's about the fall. Adam lost the image. And then he had sons. He had daughters. A whole offspring, right up to this day, people being born through procreation with the wrong image. With a nature void of God's image. A nature that is born of corruption. 2 Peter talks about that. We're going to get into that later on. Okay? So that's our foundation right there. So God had to wait 4,000 years to bring a new man, a new Adam, on this planet. And we know who that is. It's King Jesus, right? So Jesus was a full Jewish man, but he also came as a second Adam. Because it talks about anybody who's in Christ is no Jew, no Gentiles, no male, no female, you know? So that's where a lot of these, I love my Messianic brothers and all, Messianic Jews and all that, but they're leaning a little bit too much for me and on the Lord, because the Lord gave me this a few years ago. They're leaning a little bit too much on the Jewishness of Jesus. See, we got to get into Jesus being the second Adam. Because if Jesus was only a Jew, he could not save all of mankind. Right? He had to become a second Adam so that he can become the substitute of the first Adam, right? When he died on the cross, right? When he was made to be sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So, all right. So you guys get all that so far? We okay?
Amen.
Colossians 1, before we move on here, let's go to Colossians. Colossians 1, 13 or 15 and 18, sorry. Talked about God or Jesus being the firstborn. There's a lot of things I did not understand. I used to read the Bible and I had no understanding of it, some, a lot of things. And, you know, thank God, speaking in tongues helped a lot, absolutely. And I'm big on speaking in tongues. But it's also great when God can bring other teachers into your life to enlighten you on things that it doesn't take you 10 years to figure out. You know, you got other people out there, they've been praying in tongues years before, you've been saved longer than you, and they come along, God brings their tapes into your life, and they just bring their revelation that God had given them, you know. So here we have 15, the last part of it. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. See, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they use that against their own selves, because they're saying that Jesus, see, he was born. He was born to the creation. Well, what he's talking about there, he's talking about being the firstborn of the new creation. Jesus is the second Adam. He's the firstborn of this new creation, right? Later on in Romans 8:29, I believe it says that he's the firstborn of many brethren. That's in his humanity, not in his deity. We're talking about Jesus in his humanity tonight. Okay, that's very important that we get that. Because we are in union with his humanity. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing to be in union with his humanity. Because he's the one who connects us with the deity of God. Because that's what it says in Colossians 3:3. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. If it wasn't for the second Adam, we have no connection with God. Because God sent the second Adam to connect us, reconnect the race of the first Adam with himself through the substitution. You guys all know about the substitution, right? Taking the place of instead of, right? Very important that we understand that. Anyhow, so 18 here, he is also the head of the body of the church, seeing that he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. What does that mean, to be the firstborn from among the dead? Well, Jesus was the first to be born, right? He was born. You know, he was created, but he was born. Adam was created, but he was born too. But Adam was born with a full human body, right? I don't know how old he was in the natural, but he wasn't born as a baby. Jesus was born as a baby. But Jesus was the first to be born among the dead. What does that mean, to be first born to be among the dead? That means that Jesus was the first to be born alive to God with a new nature. With a nature, with the image of God. Among the whole race, the whole human race that were spiritually dead to God. I don't know what that would have been like. I tell you, it must have been freaky. To be walking around, the first one to be not born again. Some teach that Jesus was born again. He was not born again. Jesus never sinned, so he couldn't be born again. Okay? But Jesus was the first to be born with a nature that was not dead to God, that it had the image of God in it. That he's the firstborn of that. And that's why I'm saying, I think it's Romans 8:29. We'll look at it later on. Being the firstborn of many brethren. See? Jesus came to start a whole brand new human race. That's why it's called the new creation. Okay? And we're going to look into that a little bit too, to bring a greater understanding of all this. So, okay. That's part of my foundation. So let's look at some verses here concerning going from death to life. Because Adam went from life to death. Did he not?
Yes.
Did he not?
Yes.
He went from life to death.
Yes.
Okay? So God had to reverse all of that. The word redemption, this really helped me a lot. God showed me this a few years ago. And when I say God showed me, I'm not exaggerating. I'm very careful with that. But he did show me this. The word redemption, one of the definitions for the word redemption is reversal. So I call it, when I say God's plan of redemption or God's great plan of redemption, I call it God's great plan of reversal. Because if you look in the Bible, even Colossians 1:13 talks about going from darkness to light, right? Going from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom. It's all about a reversal. First Adam, second Adam, the whole thing, darkness to light, it's all about a reversal. So to help me understand, that's why you get into the word renewing, it carries the idea of reversal also. So we got to reverse the way we think, folks, our brothers and sisters. We have to reverse the way we think because there was a reversal in our spirit, right? We went from death to life, right? We went from a spirit that was dead to God. We called him the old man, okay? But then we were quickened. We were made alive in Ephesians. We're going to look at that, okay? So we went from death to life. But it started from going from life to death, you know, with Adam, the fall of Adam. And by the way, you can't blame Adam for it. Don't wait to get to heaven to blame Adam because you know what? We're in union with him at that time. We're in his loins. Okay? It's called, what do you call that? Anyway, he's the federal head of the human race. He was the federal head of the human race. That's why they call Jesus the head of the church, which is the new race, which is found in Ephesians 2:15. Okay, we're going to look at that. So let's look at some verses here concerning going from death to life. From death to life. From the sin nature, from the old nature, from the death nature, from the old man, unto the new nature, the new man. The Bible talks a lot about the new man. The new man. Okay? And even if you get into Ephesians, I want to throw this out right now. You get into Ephesians 2:22, it talks about putting off the old man. Now that word putting off is the very, very same word that is used in Ephesians 6 to put on the armor of God. That word put off is everywhere, and the word put on is everywhere in the New Testament. It's everywhere. So that's what, there you got the reversal again, right? Put on, put off, put off, put on, right? Okay? So Colossians 1:13, which is just one of those verses. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control, out of the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, going from death to life. Romans 8:2, I love this one here. Romans 8:2 talks about the law. I'm going to go to it. I don't want to misquote it. I don't like misquoting verses. Especially when you're doing recordings. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit. Now that's, a lot of translations have an uppercase S, but that should be a lowercase S. It's a new nature. He's talking about the new nature there. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, the Amplified catches it there, even though they've got a capital S on the word Spirit, the uppercase, has freed me from the law of sin and death. That's the old nature. That's a sin nature. That's the old man. That's in my spirit. That's in my spirit, not in your soul. We're looking at going from death to life in our spirit. Okay, and then you'll understand why we have to renew our minds after that. And what we're going to do, what we need to do is with all these verses, we have to renew our minds with these verses. We got to get these verses inside of our soul so that we can start thinking the way God thinks about what we are in our spirit. Okay? I taught on this at our Full Gospel 2 weeks ago, and Doug's our president. He said, "Mine, oh man," he says, "that's deep stuff." I said, this should be 101. We should have been taught this the day we got born again. And I've been saved for 22 years now, going on this summer, and I wasn't taught this until 2007. It's not God's fault. He tried to get this stuff over me years ago, but I was reading too many books. Good books. Church history and stuff like that. But anyhow, we move on, right? Okay. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. That's a big one. That is a huge one. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. It talks about, and you, he made alive, brackets, amplified, when you were dead in your sins and trespasses, in which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and fashion of this world. This is when you're walking as an unbeliever. This is what the sin nature does. This is a great description of the old man, of the sin nature. Okay? You were following the course and fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. Now here, the Amplified used the word demon in brackets. I believe that's wrong. I like the Amplified, but it's not perfect, okay? That's why I use all kinds of translations, especially the Greek and the Hebrew. And even there, you got to be careful with different Greek manuscripts. But anyhow, we got the word demon spirit here, but I believe that word spirit represents the sin nature, the dead spirit, that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Verse 3, among these we as well as you once lived, conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by the corrupt and sensual nature. There it is again. There's got the word nature. It's in brackets, but it's implied. Obeying the impulses of the flesh, the thoughts of the mind, our cravings, dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings, we were then by nature. There's the word nature. We were by nature children of what? God's wrath. That's powerful. That's scary. And see? And heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. But God, verse 4, I gotta skip verse 4, I gotta get into verse 5 here. Even when we were dead by our shortcomings and trespass, dead in our nature, he made us alive. Where did he make us alive? He made us alive in our spirit. That's where we're made alive. Through the new birth. Through the new birth. The new nature. Okay? One more. Maybe two more in this one. Titus 3:5. This is one of my favorites. I'll probably say that a lot of times because they're all my favorites. But anyhow, this is a big one. This is a really, really big one. Titus 3:5. The washing of the renewing and the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Talk about mercy. Mercy. Once I'm done with you on this word here, he saved us. Sozoed. We were sozoed. The word save is not just being saved from hell, it's saved from destruction, saved from sickness, saved from poverty, saved from all kinds of things. The word sozo is actually the Greek. It's translated many times in the four Gospels. It's translated the word healing. When Jesus healed somebody, they were sozoed. He delivered them. They were sozoed. So when it says you're saved by grace through faith, it's you were healed, you were saved, you were delivered, you were prospered, all these different things by his grace, by his abilities, by his supernatural creative abilities, by your faith though. By your faith. It's all received by faith, right? All by faith. That's why we're going to make a big deal about faith in this church. We have to. Because if you walk by sight, you're in trouble. You're on your own. Okay, so Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of our own works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath of the new birth, the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word renewing is the very same word that is used in Romans 12:2, the renewing of the mind. But here we're talking about the renewing of what? Not the mind here. Now, the word spirit is not there, but it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not regenerate your soul. He just doesn't. He regenerated your spirit. And I'll prove that because the word regeneration there, it's a good translation. But the true sense of the word is the word palingenesis, recreation. It's literally the word Genesis. So this is where God showed me a few years ago while I was in the shower, taking a shower. The Lord showed me that I was back in the garden with that word. You're back in Genesis again. You're back in the garden, Pierre. I got you back into the garden. You don't even know it. Your ignorance. He was nice about it. A lot nicer than I am with people, you know. But anyhow, it's true. Paleogenesis, the recreation of our spirit. Very powerful. Very powerful. Still to this day, we still don't hear enough about this, you know. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. I love this one. I feel sorry for those who are not born again yet. At least, hopefully, they'll get born again if we get out there and start being the church. We'll give hope to the world, and if we don't, you know what? A lot of people are going to hell, and you know what? It's not God's fault, and we can change all that, though. We can change the destiny, right, of people's lives, right? God did it for us, and you know, the church is not to be pastoral, it's to be apostolic. That's why I like our brother, Apostle Israel Onoreobe. I got the name right, finally. Yeah, he's big on the kingdom. He's big on the apostolic. My brother Emmanuel, your pastor here, he's huge, right? He's huge on the apostolic, right? The training, missionary, right? Global, right? Global church. New Life Global Church. That's right. I love that name, brother. I love it. Noble Hayes' church is called New Life Bible Church. And he's a great man of God, but I like New Life Global Church better. Not because I'm part of it. It's because I like the word global. No, I like it. It's a good name. It's a really good name. You know. So anyhow, 1 Peter 1:23. Yeah, I'm in 2 Peter. That's not good. 1 Peter 1:23. Yeah, this is powerful here. The Amplified is not too bad. Anyhow, you have been regenerated. Different word. Born again. Not from a mortal origin seed sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Now, the true sense of the word there is from corruption to incorruptible. Corruptible to incorruptible. That's the true Greek word. And I didn't want to bring too many Bibles with me tonight, so I wrote it down here. We went from the corruptible to the incorruptible. See, the seed that Adam was born with, that he was created with, had no corruption in it whatsoever, because he was created in God's image, right? Yeah. That's the part of us that's created in God's image, is like, is our spirit, because God's spirit, right? God is spirit, right? He's not soul. That's why the Holy Spirit works with the spirit. Yeah. But he's got to work the spirit through the soul, right? But the Holy Spirit works with the human spirit. That's where he dwells. He dwells in your spirit right now. He's in there. But he wants to work through your soul. So the more you transform into his image, the more you renew your mind to what the word says about who you are in Christ, and what the word says about your new nature and all the, who you are and what you are in Christ, what belongs to you, then that gives him freedom. You believe that? That we actually lock up the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. I saw an image years ago, and we're looking for it because we want to do a teaching on this. I saw an image after I got saved, and it spoke to me. I didn't know why, but I know why now. God was trying to teach me something. I went to an interfaith meeting with different religions and stuff like that. We won't mention any names, but this is years ago, and it was in Pickering, and I went there, and it was kind of boring, you know, not much about Christianity and stuff like that. I was a newborn. I still had my long hair, the whole thing, and as I was walking through the stairs, the staircase to go outside, there was a picture about this big, and it was a picture, it was like a cartoon sort of thing, but it was a cage, a bird cage, with the Holy Spirit on the inside. He's locked up in shackles, and he's looking out the window. He's looking through the tree. He wants to get out. It meant something to me, but I had no idea what it was. It was just ministering to me. Well, I found out later on, through my unbelief, through my wrong believing, through my ignorance, which is what the Lord showed me a few years ago, I was an unbelieving believer. I believed in God. I was born again. If I would have died at that moment, I was going to hell. I was going to heaven. No longer going to hell. But when it came to a lot of things, I had a lot of unbelief inside of me. I had wrong believing, stuff that I picked up in the church, stuff I picked up in when I went to church years ago in a different denomination, won't mention it, and stuff like that. So I had to purge a lot of this stuff out over the years, and I'm still working on it. So anyhow, 1 Peter 1:23, going from the corruptible into the incorruptible. So we have an incorruptible seed. We are born of incorruptible seed. Our nature, our new nature, is made without corruption because it's his nature. It's his nature. It's the very same nature that Jesus was born with in his humanity. That's what makes him our brother. Okay, John 20:17, I believe, it says, he told him, he said, go tell my brethren, I go back to my God, your God, my Father, your Father. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, he's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's God. He was God before. He's God. He's the God-man, right? But he's my elder brother. And I can go to him as my elder brother. He's there to help us. And of course, we go to his Father, which is my Father too, right? His God, my God. It's wonderful. The new birth, it's better than good news. I call it great news. I think I may have to write a new translation or something like that. I don't know. But it's great news. The good news is great news. That's why they call it good news. You know, I told Debbie that. I said, there's no good news in disease. There's no good news in sin. Living in bondage to sin, there's no good news in that. People think it's great. Because in I think it's in Hebrew, it says there's pleasure to sin, but it's only for a season. Mm-hmm. Right? I lived in sin. I was an expert at sinning years ago. I showed a picture of my Emmanuel the other day about my BC days, my long hair, and I thought I was having a great time. But when I got born again, I said, wow, I don't have to smoke. I don't have to do drugs. I got more money in my pocket. I don't have to chase after women anymore. I still like women, don't get me wrong. But I mean, I'm keeping myself, okay? And I don't have to swear anymore. All these different things I got free from. You know, that's called good news. That's called the new birth. It's called the new creation. Okay, so, all right. So, Emmanuel touched about spirit, soul, and body. He mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:23 on Sunday. A verse that I also want to bring out here before we move forward here is found in Hebrews 4:12. This is very important that we understand this. Hebrews 4:12, I heard some teaching on this quite a few years ago. I really don't listen to a whole lot of people anymore. I'd rather just mind my own business, meditate the word, and let him talk to me. And until he brings some teacher into my life, like Israel. He brought Israel into my life, and wow, this is great. And of course, I hooked up with your pastor, Emmanuel, and he said, I'll tell you, I won't even try preaching like this, man. Forget it. You know, I probably have to live in Nigeria for 25 years before I can learn to preach like that. So anyhow, that's his gifting, and we need that. We really need that. He can blast. You know, he can blast. So Hebrews 4:12, I call him the blaster. Call him the blaster or the hammer. Norval Hayes called Jesus the hammer. Yeah. Well, the Bible says the word's like a hammer, right? Yeah. Well, there you go. Is that Ezekiel, I think? That's in Ezekiel. It's like a fire, like a hammer, right? Yeah. So we know that we need that kind of preaching, you know? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, the word that God speaks in alive, that's the word rhema in the Greek, alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, effective, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints, the marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Okay, so I heard years ago in this teaching that the spirit and the soul are two different faculties. They are. They're very different, obviously. Right? We already covered that, right? The Holy Spirit came to dwell within the spirit, because he's spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Alright? But the thing is, though, I heard some teaching, basically, that the spirit of man did not need to work with the soul. Because they're different. They're separate. Right? Well, that's a false teaching. That's a false teaching. According to God, it is. It's a false teaching. Because the soul is just as important as the spirit. You know, when we're talking right now, when I'm talking, I guess, you guys are looking at me, we're communicating soul to soul. The only party that's communicating spirit to spirit is God and your Holy Spirit. That's why we encourage people praying in tongues here. Because the Amplified catches it. When you speak in tongues, the spirit prays, but it's got also the lowercase in there. And I think it is the lowercase. It's your spirit, your new nature. By the Holy Spirit, he's praying through your new nature. Okay? But if you don't catch the revelation, where do you catch the revelation? It's through the soul, through the mind. That's where. So God gave us a soul for a reason. Okay? The spirit is made to connect us with God, but the soul is also made to connect us with the sense realm, right? What we can see, right? But, this is what he gave me a few years ago, if I remember it verbatim, I like it. Removing your sense man, your soul, from the sense realm by convincing him of things not seen. Whoa, he gave me that one day. This is all part of mind renewal, okay? Removing your sense man from the sense realm. So the more you transform into his image, the more you renew your mind with the word, your sense man is no longer going to think like the way you were before you got saved. You're going to start thinking the way God thinks. See? So you're removing your sense man from the sense realm by convincing him of things not seen, which is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, or the conviction of things not seen. Okay? Now that word conviction is very interesting. Because we always say that the word believing is not seeing. But the word conviction has to do with inward seeing. So the more you see on the inside, the more you'll have faith, the more you'll believe. So believing is seeing, but it's an inward seeing because believing is done in the heart. Right? That's where faith is, right? It's in the heart, right? Right? Am I losing people here? No, we're okay. All right. Okay, I just want to make sure. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out here, right? We're okay? Yeah? Okay. So, because I'm trying to get a little, I don't want to make this YouTube video too long, but anyhow, and I promised Emmanuel I'd do 30 minutes, so I'm going to try my best here. Okay, spirit, soul, and body. All right. The word spirit is the Greek word pneuma, okay? P-N-E-U-M-A, and we got the word pneumonia today. That's where it comes from. And actually, a lot of places, they'll translate the word spirit, air, or breath. Even sometimes in Genesis 1, or Genesis 1:1-2, there, the Spirit of God, they've got the breath of God. Well, it should be spirit, but anyhow, that's part of the definition of the word spirit. Even in the Old Testament, it has the idea of breath, and that's where you get the word pneumonia, right? Your lungs, right? Okay? So then we're going to get into the soul here. The soul is, this is where God started to show the stuff through the Greek and all that. The word soul is actually the Greek word psyche. We've all heard the word psyche, right? Yeah. It's P-S-Y-C-H-E. You get the word psychology, you get the word psychiatry, you get the word psychopath, all from the word psyche. This is everywhere in the New Testament. It's everywhere in the New Testament. I'm going to have all this stuff on my YouTube, on my Facebook, or my YouTube, yeah, my website. All the Greek and all that stuff. Okay? So we got the word soul. Also then we got the word, that's the English word soul, the Greek word psyche. Then you got the word mind, M-I-N-D. That's actually the Greek word nous, N-O-U-S. That's found in Romans 12:2, the renewing of the mind. It's a popular Greek word in the New Testament. And actually you get the word metanoia out of it. Metanoia is the Greek word for the English word repentance. Okay? So you got metanoia. Noia is a Greek word, different from nous, but it comes from the word nous. Okay, so a change, the word meta means change. Okay, so nous, change of what? Change of mind. So when Jesus came to preach on the kingdom, what did he do? He told them what? Repent for the kingdom. So start changing your mind. Start changing to think the way the God thinks. And that's where Jesus taught, he preached, and people were getting healed because he preached on the kingdom. Because there's no disease in the kingdom. But you got to walk by faith. If you don't walk by faith, you'll never walk in the kingdom. That's scary. It really is. I walked for 13 years. I did walk with the Lord. But I'll tell you, I was missing out on a lot of stuff. And I'm still not there yet, but we're going there. Right, brother?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so the word metanoia is part of that. The word nous, mind, change of mind. The word mind is also used, and there's another, sometimes you'll come across the word mind in the New Testament. If you go to your Greek, you'll find out it's a different Greek word. It's the word phren, P-H-R-E-N, okay? Now, sometimes it's translated understanding. Sometimes it's translated intellect. But it's the word phren, and that's actually, if you look at medical journals and stuff, I started getting into this years ago, finding some older medical books and stuff like that, because a lot of the terms in medicine is from the Greek and the Latin, okay? So the word phren actually is our English word midriff or diaphragm. Or midriff, that's this part, I think, right? I think it's this part, right? The midriff?
Here.
Yeah, it's right here, right? Yeah, it's your rib cage and all that, right? Okay, so you got the word midriff and diaphragm. And actually, you got the word phren. You've got it in the word schizophrenia. Phren. Schizophrenia. See? Schizophrenia. So we've got all this language from the New Testament. It's in our vernacular today, in the English. It's amazing, eh? That's what makes the word alive. You know, the Lord gave me this word a few years ago. He says, revelation. I shared this with a lady over the phone. I was ordering some books from her pastor. And I shared it with her, and she almost freaked out on me. She said, oh, my goodness. The Lord told me, he says, revelation keeps God relevant. So the more you get revelation, the more God is real to you. You know, you get these Christians that are, my goodness, it's like, man, you know, they think God's, you know, he's somewhere else, you know. I never had that, and I always wondered why I was feel, even at work, working construction, for 13 years after I got saved, 10 years before I got saved, drywall, you know. For some reason, I would come home from work, and me and Mom would start talking, fellowshipping, stuff like that. You know, she's all happy I'm born again and everything, you know. She goes, you know, I don't know, God seems so real to you. And I said, yeah, He is. I don't know why. He's just so real to me, you know. I found out later on, I was speaking in tongues all day. What does the Bible say? He who speaks in tongues, what? He doesn't speak to men. He speaks to God. That's what was making God relevant to me. And then God started speaking back to me because He's answering those mysteries that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 14. But I didn't know at that time. I was just smart enough to keep praying in tongues, you know. And then God was just so real to me, you know. But I mean, I had ways to go in other areas. I had to build faith and stuff like that, you know. But that's, I'm just sharing all that because, you know, this is what we teach here, right? So it's all part of the, you know, it's, we're building upon, you know, anything He teaches here, it has to be built. I have to build upon it. If I don't, then I'm in the wrong place or I've got the wrong message, you know. So, okay. So we got this covered. We got that covered. Okay, let's get into this. Okay, the word repentance, metanoia, news, change of mind. Another word with the word meta in it, change, is found in the word transformation in Romans 12:2. The word transformation. It's metamorpho. What word do we get out of metamorpho? Metamorphosis. There we go. So it's actually the word, the more morpho, it actually means the form. So a change of form. So our soul has to undergo a change of form. Okay? It's the same word. Now, in Romans 12:2, it's metamorpho. Metamorpho. But if you go into Galatians 4:19, where Paul talks, I labor that Christ may be more food in you. It's the same word. Not the full transformation, but the word metamorpho in Romans. And in Galatians, it's the word morpho, that Christ may be formed in you. Where? In your spirit? No, you've already got His nature. You've already got it. It's in your soul. Your soul. Christ has to be formed in your soul. And the more Christ is formed in your soul, watch out. Watch out. You won't be reading the book of Acts anymore. You're going to be living the book of Acts. We're going to be living the book of Acts. You know, we've made... Yeah, hey, listen, I'm the first one to admit I've said things years ago that I shouldn't have said, and you know, well, praise God, you know, as long as we change, we repent, change your mind, you know. Repentance is not something you say. It's something you do. You change your mind. You know, you sin, or I repent, Lord, and you go back to sin. You never repented. Forget it. You never repented. No. You work your way at repenting. You do. God understands that. You got strongholds. I'll tell you, he's there to help you, you know, but He just wants you to start repenting, start working away from those things that are not of Him, those things that don't belong to you in Christ. Sin don't belong to us. It don't belong to us. It's part of the old man. Disease is part of the old man. The more you learn to put off the old man, the more you'll put off disease, you'll put off poverty, you'll put off wrong thinking. The old man has all kinds of stinking thinking, all kinds of wrong thinking, wrong believing, ignorance. That's part of the old man. That's what Ephesians 4:22-24 is. Let's go to there, okay? Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. I wanted to bring this out, I never got to, and I'm going to bring it out. When I did the teaching on fasting about a month and a half ago. Yeah, I wish I would have brought this up, but I'll bring it up now. So Ephesians 4, I don't have to go there. You guys can go there. I already know it by heart. I'll go to the other one, which is Romans 6:6. Ephesians 4:22-24, put off the old man, same word, put off, put on the armor, put on the new man, that's put on the armor of God. When you learn to put on the armor of God, you will put on the new man. When you learn to put on the new man, you will learn how to put on the armor of God, because the armor of God is Christ Himself. That's the new man. If you want a great, great, great definition or a great picture of the new man, just start meditating on the armor of God. That's the new man. That's Christ Jesus Himself in His humanity. And He's made that available to us. And what are we doing? I mean, I saw this years ago, and I think I believed it at that time, but thank God I don't believe it anymore. Well, I put on the armor every day. I put on the helmet of salvation. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to transform to it. You got to take that word, those words, as a seed and sow it. I don't have time to get into that. Parables of the sower, sow the word. Luke 8:11, the word is a seed. The seed is the word. So God has given us his seed or his word in seed form. Okay? So the word has to be sown. Where? In your spirit? No, in your soul. Right? Jesus is the word, right? Is he the word?
Yes.
Yeah. But he was made flesh. Yes. Did you know that God still wants his word to become flesh today?
Yes.
The more we renew our mind to his word, the more we will become, we won't become the word, but we will become like the word. We are. That's the whole plan of redemption. That is the plan of the new creation. So, Ephesians 4:22 talks about the old man to put him off. Okay? So in Romans 6, though, I want to bring this out. Because I brought this out 2 weeks ago, the full gospel, and Grant said, I never saw that before. Well, I said, that's what teachers do. They point things out, things that you've never seen before. And I don't take credit for this. Trust me, I pray too much in tongues for this, and I don't take credit for that. You know, but Romans 6:6, and lots of meditating the word, not just praying in tongues, the five keys. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old, unrenewed self, the old man, was nailed to the cross, which is the instrument of sin. In order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we may no longer be slaves to sin. So this old man here, it's not talking about the same old man in Ephesians. This old man was in your spirit, but it's been put off. It's been crucified at the cross. Okay? So you've got an old man, you had an old man before you got saved in your spirit, and you had the old man in the soul. But God took care of the old man in the spirit when you got born again. Now you got to take care of the old man in your soul. Okay? Am I complicating things?
Yes.
I am? I'm complicating
things?
No. Okay, alright. I just want to make sure. Okay? Alright. So as long as you can, that's why I said, an unrenewed mind is a what? Is a dysfunctional mind. It's a dysfunctional, it's a dangerous mind. Because you're still thinking like the world. How many times did Paul says, no longer live like the world? I mean, that's what it says in Romans 12 too, right? Don't stop being conformed to this world. That's actually in the Greek, it's an imperative, present, negative. Actually, he found out the way the believers in Rome were living, and he said, stop it! That's what he was saying. Stop being conformed to this world. That's the imperative, the negative, with the word not, and then present. Stop it. They were doing something, he said, stop it. You know, it's amazing. They didn't even have the word back then, like we do today. Now, I would have given them a little bit more mercy and stuff like that. You know, they did not have what we have today. They had the Holy Spirit, but they did not have the word like we got today. We've got the word. We got the full canon, for crying out loud. And we're still living in sin. The church is full of sin. It's just full of sin. It's full of pornography. It's full of adultery. It's full of fornication. You know, we got people smoking pot in churches now. They get together for a Bible study. They smoke pot. How ridiculous. It's serious. I take this very serious.
Yeah, very.
You know, very serious. Yeah. I take this stuff very serious. Because Jesus, he died to set us free from all of that.
Yeah.
But see, ignorance will keep you in bondage.
Yeah.
Will keep you in a trap, in a cell. It'll keep you in a labyrinth of darkness. You know, a few years ago, in Colossians 1:13, I was going to my restaurant with my mom, just a fish and chips. And the Lord gave me a revelation out of Colossians 1:13. He said, this is the way he gave it to me. I still remember where I was on Center Street. And I said, Mom, I got to pull over. I got to write this down. And he said, you've been delivered out of the walk of sight and to transfer it into the walk of faith, into walking by faith. See, when you're living in darkness, you cannot help but walk by sight. You can't help it. But see, today, we have not taught enough on faith and how to walk by faith. So if you don't walk by faith, you cannot help but walk by sight. So walking by faith is not really complicated. I thought it was complicated years ago. Every time I came across the word faith, I was confused. Mm-hmm. You know? And God enlightened me one day. He said, faith, Pierre, is believing what I believe. I said, oh my goodness, is that all it is? Really? Yeah, it's believing what I believe. So the more you renew your mind to what I believe, you'll be walking by faith. So the more you believe who you are in Christ and what you are and what I've done for you and all these goodies I've given you back in the garden, you're back in the garden. You're walking by faith, and the more you walk by faith, the more you're walking with me. And the more you walk with me, you walk in fellowship and intimacy with God. But if you don't walk by faith, guess what? God feels like a million miles away. I've been there years ago. Where are you, God? Mm-hmm. God's going, excuse me? I'm inside of you. You know what it cost me to get my spirit inside of you? You know? The Old Testament saints, they would have loved to have what we have today. They would have loved it. We get chastised if they're here today. We may get chastised when we get up in heaven. I mean, you may want to stay away from Abraham and Noah. And I'll tell you, because these guys were looking. The prophets were prophesying of the coming Messiah. You know, even it says in 1st or 2nd Peter somewhere that it says the angels are looking into this. They were looking into this. You know, and we've got the real deal.
Amen.
We've got the real deal. And what are we doing with it? That's why I like coming here. He talks about that. He gets angry too. It's good to get angry, you know, at the right things. It is. I think Jesus was angry a lot of times. I think Jesus is still angry a lot of times. Okay. So let's just wrap it up here. The new nature. We've already covered the new nature. We've already covered the old nature. Let's look at a few verses on mind renewal. Okay? Because, you know, a lot of times, just because the word spirit is not in there or the word mind is not in there, it doesn't mean mind renewal or doesn't have the word spirit, whatever, you know, the recreation stuff like that. Before I go to the mind renewal, I have to bring this out here. That's in Ephesians 2:15. I'll tell you. The Amplified catches it. And the Greek's even better, but I don't have time for that. But I'll just share it out of the Amplified. Ephesians 2:15. When I saw that, this is about 4 years ago. I wrote it down. I got my date at home, but that's not important. Ephesians 2:15. I'd have to read a couple verses before and after, but I won't. I'll just go straight to Ephesians 2:15, I believe. And then we'll get into this. Right here. By abolishing in his own crucified flesh the enmity caused by the law with his decrees and ordinances, which he annulled, that he, from two, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, if you go a few verses back, out of the two, might create in, not for himself, but in himself, one new man, one new quality of humanity, out of the two, so making peace. That's why when I got a hold of this about the first Adam, second Adam, first Adam in his fallen state, the whole thing, I began to realize, you know, we got all kinds of people out there. We got Nigerians, we got French, we got Igbo, we got French, we got Japanese, Chinese, Italians, we got all kinds of religions out there. But you know what God sees? He sees two human races on this planet. He sees people in union with the first Adam in his fallen state, and he sees people in union with the second Adam, made alive to God. That's all he sees. And we have to, that'll simplify things. So now you're not going to go out to, I got to get the New Agers saved, I got to get the other religions saved and stuff like that. You know, no. Paul says that I become all things to all men that some may be saved. You know, that's why I don't go after a group of people anymore. I don't go after my Catholic brothers and sisters. Because as far as God's concerned, if they're not born again, they're in union with the first Adam. And if you're born again, you're in union with the second Adam. That's the way God sees things. That's it. This is right through the whole Bible, the New Testament, this new creation. This new race, brand new race. So let's go to a verse on mind renewal, a couple here to shut this down here. I want to look at this one here. Romans 4:19. You're going to say, what does this got to do with mind renewal? It has everything to do with mind renewal. Romans 4:19. Most translations have it wrong, including my Amplified. But I know my King James and my New King James, and I know my majority text. And I make a lot of this reference, it's just to put it on YouTube, because I use my YouTube for teaching. They love it in Africa. They're making DVDs, they're making CDs, they want more stuff. You know, they love the Greek and Hebrew up there. They just love it. You know? And, so Romans 4:19, Abraham, he did not weaken in faith when he considered, that's a bad translation, very bad translation. In the King James, New King James says, he did not consider. How can Abraham walk with God? How can Abraham receive the promise while he's considering his own body, which is good as dead? He can't procreate anymore. He messed up with Hagar. We got an Ishmael. We got the mess we got today, you know. And then Sarah's womb, it was dead, right? She never could. You know, so Abraham says he did not consider. Well, what did he consider? Did you know the word consider has the idea of paying close attention to? Okay? So where do you consider? Where do you pay close attention to? What part of you? Your spirit? No. Your soul. Your mind. Yeah. That's the part of you that looks around and listens to people. They're talking about me or whatever. They said good thing. They said bad thing. They said things about me that's not true. That were good. I'll say, I'll let them keep on talking about that if they want to say good things about me, even though they're not true. That's part of you that considers. So Abraham did not consider his own body. He did not consider his own body. But he considered the promise. That's part of mind renewal. That's part of mind renewal. That, the Lord showed me this years ago. I saw the considering part, and I thought it was right. And then God showed me that the most accurate translation is a majority text. And then I saw, oh my goodness, the King James, the New King James. Not the best translation in English, but they had a good foundation for the Greek. It's Abraham did not consider his own body. And that's why he was able to grow strong in faith. You will never be able to grow strong in faith if you're considering your own body or you're considering your circumstances. It's impossible. To walk by faith is to not be moved by what you see. God gave me that in 2008, I think. I said, Lord, when will I know when I'm in faith? And he spoke to me right away. I was in my parents' living room. They're outside. They're gone somewhere. He said, when you're no longer moved by what you see. And I, oh my goodness, I got a long way to go because everything bothered me. Living at home, not married, this, that, this. Everything was bothering me, meaning I was walking by sight. But see, when you build the Word of God inside of you, you're building faith. And the next thing you know, those things don't move you anymore because you know God has promised you something. So it's just a matter of time that He'll perform it for you, right? God is the performer of His Word, right? Okay, one more verse. One more. Can we go? I'll pick a good one here. Okay, Colossians 3, and that's it. I'll close out with that. Colossians 3. The Amplified's probably got the best translation for this one. Colossians 3. Especially, I believe it's verse 2. This is all about mind renewal. All right. I'm going to go 1 to 3. If then, or since then, if is not a good, no, since then. He's talking to believers, not if. No, since you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But he just said you're raised with Him. So that means not only Christ is seated there, you're seated with Him too. Right? It says there that Christ, where Christ is seated, but He just said you're raised with Him. So if you're raised with Him, you're seated with Him, right? Right. Okay, so we're raised with Him, we're seated with Him. All right. And set your mind, and keep it set. He didn't say set your mind once and forget about it. No, it's in the Greek also. It's an imperative, but it's in the present tense. Set your mind, but keep it set. Okay? On what? On the things above. I remember when the Lord opened this up to me a few years ago. My sister was still around. And I looked up that word. He had me look up that word above. And He brought me back to John 3:7. It says that we're born again, right? Talking to Nicodemus. Well, there's a couple places where the word again is the word again. But that word in verse 7, it's born from above. Okay, that's what the word is in the Greek. So when God showed me this, He said, Pierre, set your mind and keep it set on things that are above, meaning who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ, what belongs to you, find out what belongs to you, and start believing for it. That's a big part of mind renewal. And then goes on to say, for as this world is concerned, you have died. Your new life, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the Christ, the second Adam, connects us with God. When Christ, who is our life, Christ, His life, is to be our life. So anything you see in the New Testament and the Gospels, if we're going to the cross, we don't need to go to the cross. But anything you see, the miracles, all these different things, that's part of His life, it's part of His ministry, it belongs to us. Why? Because we're His body. Amen. We're sons of God. Amen. The same nature, right? Amen. He's the Son of God in His humanity, firstborn of many brethren in Romans 8, we're supposed to walk in the same thing. And that's what mind renewal is all about, so that we can walk as he walked, becoming living epistles among men. I thank you for your time. Amen.